We have a lot of new Christians in our church. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. That's a blessing. A lot of new Christians in our church. That is a blessing. And so I want to kind of educate some of the new Christians as to some of the things we do in the church, because some people are like, why do people say amen? Or why do people say hallelujah? And so I want to kind of just educate everybody, just to give you some information so that you know why we do some of the, we can't explain to you everything why we do what we do, but we can give you some stuff. The word amen means let it be so. It is a term of agreement. It's a term of agreement. So generally speaking, not in all the cases, but generally speaking, if I say something or as I'm preaching or teaching that you agree with, right, that you agree with, a lot of times people respond by saying amen, right? Amen, right? That means I agree with that. Let it be so. You could also say amen to God. You know what I mean? Let it be so. It is a term of agreement. So you just know about that. Sometimes we say the word hallelujah. Hallelujah. Someone say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right? Hallelujah is a praise. It means to praise God. Right? Praise Jehovah. Hallelujah. Praise Jehovah or Yahweh, right? And so if I say something that kind of resonates with your spirit, like it kind of like, you know, sometimes God illuminates something to you and it kind of just like shocks you. Has that ever happened to you? It could be even through the worship or praise and something just hits you, right? That's when sometimes people say, hallelujah. You know what I mean? If something hits them and it resonates in their spirit. And so that's why we say hallelujah a lot of times, not all the time. But I'm going to introduce you to this next word, because we don't always give candy up in here. We don't always give sweet stuff. The next word is ouch. Can I hear you say ouch? Ouch. Now, if I say something or teach something or preach something that steps on your toes a little bit, because every now and then we got to step on some toes. I'm sorry. I'm going to tell you I'm sorry in advance. You know what I mean? We love you. But every now and then, because see, we can get easily off course. I don't know if you're anything like me, we could easily get off course. And so if I say anything that kind of like challenges you, you know, you need to work on it. You know what I mean? We need to work on something. Everybody needs to work on something, right? And if it kind of like steps on your toes, that's when you can say, ouch. Let me hear you say, ouch. Ouch. So you kind of got a couple of the phrases. Amen? All right. I thought I would just throw that up in there. Give the Lord a hand praise. Today, I want to talk to you about walking in the favor of God. Someone say favor of God. The favor of God is one of the major themes in the Bible. It's mentioned over and over and over and over again. In fact, it's so important. It's on the same lane, the same line as grace and peace and blessings when you talk about the favor of God. There is nothing like the favor of God. I mean, if there's anything that I want for my life, if there's anything that I want for my family, my kids, my wife, if there's anything that I want for this church, is to experience the favor of God. Amen? I mean, I'd rather have favor than fortune. I'd rather have favor than fame. And if I can be really real with you, when it comes to the favor of God, I'd rather have the favor than friends. That's how important favor is. That's how critical favor is. Favor is a powerful, if I could use this term, it is a powerful force to be reckoned with when you talk about walking in the favor of God. How many people want the favor of God in their life? Amen. Let me see who I'm preaching to. So today I want to kind of give you just an introductory course. We just have time to go over it a little bit, but I'm going to be talking to you about what the Bible says about favor. I'm going to be talking to you about what's the definition of favor. We're going to be talking about some biblical observations of favor. And then I'm going to give you some principles on how to position your life for the favor of God. That's what we're going to be talking about this afternoon, and I'm going to place in your spirit. But before I do, I want to just read a couple verses as it relates to what God says about his favor. And the first verse that I'm going to read is out of Leviticus 26, verse 9. Leviticus 26, verse 9. And I want to read it. We have it up on the screen right here. It says, I will look on you with what? With favor, and make you fruitful and increase your numbers, and I will keep my covenant with you. Does anybody in here need to increase? Maybe spiritually, maybe financially, maybe socially. You need to expand your territory. You need to expand your borders. Well, the favor of God will cause you to increase. The second verse I want to read is Psalms chapter 5, verse 13. Chapter 5, verse 13. It says, for surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with favor as a shield, with a shield. Favor is like a shield. It protects you from sickness and assaults and attacks from the enemy. Anybody need a shield today? Now you might say that you're not righteous, but I want to remind you, if you are a born-again Christian, you have the righteousness of Jesus. I want to remind you that if you're a born-again Christian, that when God looks at you, he does not see you, he sees Jesus. Another scripture I want to read is in Acts chapter 2, verse 46. It says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the what? The favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their numbers daily who were being saved. Man, that's a powerful verse. This is an example of a church experiencing the favor of God right there. That's what you're looking at. And I'm so blessed. I'm so humbled. I'm so honored to pastor a church that is experiencing the favor of God. I'm so blessed. I'm so humbled. Man, last night, over 40 people made a commitment to surrender to Jesus Christ. And it wasn't even a church service. Last Thursday, 30 people became full-fledged members of Chapel of Change. 30 people. It's almost every week, someone surrenders to the Lord Jesus Christ right here at this altar. I'm telling you, Chapel of Change, you got the favor of God in your life. I want to show this picture. About 3 weeks ago, I want to celebrate this. 3 weeks ago, Chapel of Change, you guys received a certificate of congressional recognition. Now, I got to confess, it took me a couple days to understand what that meant. That's a big word, right? Come on now. Do you know what that means? That is the White House. Congressional recognition. Praise the Lord for that. That is the White House. We are 8 months old and the White House already talking about us. I don't know if that means anything to you. I don't know if that means anything to you, but I celebrate that. I celebrate that. So God has just poured out his favor. I had a young minister call me this week, a young minister from Long Beach. He got a hold of me through Facebook. He called somebody else. Somebody else called me. They said, hey, Brian, this guy wants to talk to you. Can you talk to him? I said, sure. Have him call me up. This young minister called me up. He said, Brian, I've been looking at Chapel of Change on Facebook for the last 3 or 6 months, and I've been amazed at what God is doing. And I, as a young minister, I just want to know, what are you guys doing? What are you guys doing? He asked me that, right? And you know how I answered him initially? I said, listen, I would like to tell you we know what we're doing. But it is only by the grace of God. It is only by the grace of God of what is happening right here in this church. I had to give it up for the Lord. At least I get struck down. I'm sorry why I said that. I don't know why I said that. I'm preaching to myself. Sometimes I preach to myself up here. Sometimes the Holy Ghost just take over. I got to turn to myself. So what is the definition of favor? What is the definition of favor? Well, the Bible doesn't have a hardcore definition of favor. It doesn't have a specific verse that explains a clear-cut definition of favor. And so I want to just give you a couple definitions that'll kind of get you to think about, a couple definitions that'll give you to think about. Number one is that favor is God doing for you what you can't do for yourself. That's what that is. Favor is God doing for you what you can't do for yourself. Favor gets you to places where you can't get yourself. Favor does for you what you can't do in your own strength. That's what favor does. That's the definition of favor right there. Let me show you this picture right here. I want to show you this. You see this picture right here? You know what this is? That is a turtle on a fence post. That's what that is. And let me tell you something. Whenever you see a turtle on a fence post, there is one thing that is absolutely sure. He had help. He had help. He did not get there on his own. Somebody had to pick him up and put him on that fence post. And that's what the favor of God does. It picks you up where you couldn't pick yourself up, and it places you in places where people act crazy because you're there. Man, I tell this story all the time. I told it to the membership class. I hope you don't get tired of hearing this, but 3 years ago, I was working a job at LAX. I was working a job at LAX, and this job had nothing to do with church. It had nothing to do with God. So I thought it had nothing to do anything with ministry. And inside of my heart, my wife and I knew that we were going to plant a church. We were just waiting on the Lord. And all of a sudden, one day, a pastor from Light and Life Church accidentally, by mistake, called my work, and I just accidentally, by mistake, answered the phone out of everybody in the office. And as a result of that phone call, the favor of God snatched me up. And 6 months later, I quit my job, and Light Life hired me, and now I'm standing before you today. Favor of God. Let me give you another definition of the favor of God. The favor of God is God graciously working in you to bless you for his glory in any circumstance. In any circumstance. Let me repeat that. The favor of God is graciously working to bless you for his glory. Someone say his glory. In any circumstance. One thing I love about the favor of God is not intimidated by circumstances, by situations. It's not intimidated by hard times, good times. It don't matter where you at. The favor of God will hunt you down and snatch you up. You can be in a dysfunctional family, an abusive relationship. You could be in a dead-end job. And once the favor comes knocking at your door, boy, you got to get up. You got to get up. Favor of God. Not intimidated by situations and circumstances. It is the blessing of God working in me for his glory. Favor will snatch you up. It will snatch you up. Now, let me give you just two biblical observations about favor I want to drop off on your feet, is that everybody God greatly used, found favor with God before he used them. Everybody God greatly used found favor with God before he used them. Let me give you some examples. Noah. Someone say Noah. Right? God was about to destroy the world, about to flood the world. And Genesis 6:8 says, Noah found favor in the eyes of God. And God turned around and used him to preserve all of mankind. Abraham, God found favor with him and turned around and used him to be a father of many nations. Joseph was in prison. The favor of God found him and snatched him up. I'm telling you, the favor of God will find a prisoner, snatch him up, put him right before you, and you won't even know. You wouldn't even know it. Hello, somebody. Is this thing on right here? Even Jesus, our Lord Jesus, the Bible says in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, it says, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. If Jesus needed the favor of the Father to complete his mission, I'm telling you, we need the favor of God to live in this world. Let me give you another observation. This is a very important observation I need you to get right here. God's favor is not sent to increase your convenience, but to accomplish his plan. Somebody got to get that. I'm going to say that again. God's favor is not sent to increase your convenience, but to accomplish his will. Now, I take responsibility for that because I'm a preacher, but I must admit that a lot of preachers are painting the favor of God in a wrong way. They are telling you that once you get the favor of God, everything is going to line up, everything's going to get straight, and you're going to walk on roses for the rest of your life. It is a fallacy. It is a mistake. I'm preaching to you right now that even in the midst of favor, things will get worse before they get better. Oh, yeah, that's good preaching, right? We could just say amen and go home off that one. Even in the midst of favor, at times, things can get worse before they get better. That's why you don't jump off a bridge when you get bad news. That's why you don't jump in front of a car when you get bad news. That's why you don't cuss at your wife when you get bad news. Favor is not sent to increase your convenience. It's sent to accomplish God's will. Ultimately, God will make it better. Ultimately, yes. But generally, it takes time. We talked about Noah a little bit. Noah had God's favor, but he still had to build an ark in the middle of the desert with no Home Depot. That is not convenient. Abraham, God's favor to him meant for him to leave his family and leave his friends and walk into the unknown. That's what God's favor meant to him. Joseph showed God, his father showed him favor by putting a cloak of many colors on him, and immediately his brother started to hate on him and try to kill him and sold him off to slavery. It wasn't 13 years later till the favor of God was fully manifested in his life. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Think about her for a second. She was a godly woman married to getting engaged to a godly man. And they were about to go off, right off into the sunset. She was minding her own business when the angel comes up and says, you are blessed and highly favored. Now, I don't know about you, but most of us would be like, oh, yeah, wow, what do I get? Am I getting a free honeymoon through the Caribbean? What is my consolation prize for being favored? That's how most preachers preach it, right? No, Mary. You're going to be impregnated out of wedlock. People are going to look down upon you. They're going to look funny at you. And on top of that, you're going to have to convince everybody your baby is God. Now do you want the favor of God? Oh, okay, yeah. Now do you want the favor of God? Favor of God is not sent to increase your convenience. God ain't your ATM. That was hot off the press. That ain't even in my notes. Now, How do we position our lives for the favor of God? How do we position our lives for the favor of God? First, I want to say this. I want to make it clear that you cannot force God's favor upon your life. I'm not going to give you a formula in step one, two, and three, and then all of a sudden God is going to do his favor. That's God. You cannot put God in a box like that. This is not about a formula. You cannot produce the favor of God. He is God. You are not. He is God, you are not. But you can position yourself to receive the favor of God. The favor of God is not to be achieved, but it is to be received. So how do we position? See, it's like radio waves. It's like the radio. Do you know that there is music playing right now in this sanctuary? Did you know that? Yeah, there's music playing right now, but until you put up your antennas and dial in, tune in to that wave, you're not going to hear it. It's the same with the favor of God. It's flowing. If you're a born-again Christian, it is flowing, but until you put up your spiritual antennas, dial into God's number, right, will you receive what God has for you? And so how do we position ourselves? Number one, live in expectancy of good things. Live in expectancy of good things. I want to teach you a spiritual law. It's called the law of expectation, the law of expectation. And the law of expectation says that you tend to get what you expect. You tend to get what you expect. You tend to feel what you expect to feel. You tend to see what you expect to see. You tend to get what you expect to get. Tell your neighbor, you get what you expect to get. Jesus alluded to this principle. You know when he said, according to your faith, be it done unto you. Remember he said that? In other words, according to your expectation, let it be done unto you. That's why we have to frame our life with favor. There is a vocabulary of favor. There is a mind frame of favor. There is a behavior of favor. We have to frame our life with favor. Got to start talking like you're favored long before you see it. Got to start acting like you're favored long. See, some of you, our perspective is so messed up. You walk in a room, you think everybody hates you. They don't even know you. Some of you don't got that problem. You got the opposite problem. You walk in the room, you think everybody loves you. Favor walks in the room, and it doesn't matter to favor who likes them, who hates them, because the biggest person in the room, who is God, loves them and is it for them. That's what favor does. The book of Psalms, I love this. The book of Psalms says, he says, I believe I will experience the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I believe it. I expect it. So the challenge today is to stop moaning and groaning. The challenge today is stop belly aching. The challenge is to stop waking up and saying, oh, it's just going to be another one of them days again. And don't fall for this line right here. Don't fall. Have you ever heard of this line that says, believe for the best, but expect the worst? Don't fall for that, man. That thing is failed. That is filled with doubt, disbelief, and fear. And most of all, that ain't the word of God. If you're a child of God, you better expect the good things. Number two, recognize God's favor in the small things. Luke chapter 16, verse 10 says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. Now, if you cannot recognize, if you cannot celebrate, if you cannot appreciate the small blessings of life, how are you going to appreciate the big blessings of life? For some of you, the reason why God is holding back the big blessings of life is because you never thanked him for the small blessings. You never thanked him for the small blessings. And this is a challenge, not for everybody, maybe one person, maybe 10, maybe all of us, but some of us got to go back to the basics. And we got to thank God for the air we breathe. It may be polluted, it may be messed up, but it's causing us to live. Some of you got to thank God for the clothes you wear. You may have a hole in it, it may be a little wrinkle, but it is covering you from the heat of the sun and the cold of the winter. got to thank God for the small things. And then he'll open up the windows of heaven for you. But if you ain't doing that, somebody can say, ouch. The last one is, as the worship team comes back, is give yourself to obedience. Give yourself to obedience. Let me read to you the scripture in Deuteronomy 28. God tells us, he says, if you fully, someone say fully, if you fully obey the Lord God and carefully follow all his commands, not just the one you like, not just the one that fits you, not just the one that's full of sugar, but he says, all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you above all the nations on the earth, and these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. Look at some of the things he says. Just hear the word of God today. He says, you will be blessed in the city, and you will be blessed in the country. The fruit of your wombs will be blessed. He says, you will be blessed coming in, and you will be blessed coming out. You see, once again, it's not about trying to earn God's favor, but it's about positioning your life to where the favor is flowing. And when we obey God, we can trust that he will release his goodness and grace into our life. Why is that? It is because blessing follows obedience. Blessings follow obedience, or obedience leads to blessing. And so I want to challenge you today. It's not just about turning to God and say, give me, give me, give me, bless me, bless me, bless me. That's not what it's about. It's about turning to God and say, God, I'm fully committed to obeying you. I'm fully committed to being what you want me to be. I'm fully committed to doing what you want me to do. I'm fully committed to saying what you want me to say. The wise person will bless God by obeying God. And then he'll pour out his favor from heaven. And you'll be like that turtle in a place where people never expected you to be, by the favor of God. Amen. I think about my life, and I think about where the favor has brought me from. And it's crazy because 21 years ago today, 21 years ago today, the detectives broke down my door and arrested me. And I can still remember and hear the detective, God bless his soul, saying, you better take a good look at them streets, boy, because you'll never see them again. And I remember them sliding me in a cage. And I remember the district attorney fighting to keep me in prison for the rest of my life. And I remember all this craziness and being bombarded with hopelessness and despair and depression. But I remember one day as a teenager, I turned to heaven and I said, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. And whatever you want me to say, I'll say. And I would never imagine that the favor of God would snatch me out of the dungeon of life, the lost and found of life, and usher me to a place where God is glorified and I'm experiencing the blessings of God.